The gospel lesson for the day comes from the gospel according to Luke. It is the 6th chapter. I will actually begin reading at the 12th verse, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Hear the word of God. Now during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, Jesus called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Jesus and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch Jesus, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is the word of the Lord. It's called the Sermon on the Plain, as opposed to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. The Beatitudes: blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. The more familiar Beatitudes are in Matthew. Also, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Beware of practicing your piety before others. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. That's all from the Mount in Matthew. The sermon Jesus preached from the plain has a different feel. In Matthew, Jesus went up the mountain to teach, and the reader is not to miss the symbolism there. It is like Moses, who went up the mountain to receive the law of the Ten Commandments. like Elijah, who went up on the mountain to take on the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel and witness the power of God unleashed at Mount Horeb, and like the account of the Transfiguration later in the Gospel, where both Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus up on a high mountain. In Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus, the great teacher, saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, sat down, and it was there that he taught them. Here in Luke, Jesus goes up to the mountain not to teach, but to pray, to spend the night with God in prayer there on the mountain. After the overnight, Jesus called his disciples. No dropping nets here. No urgent, miraculous sense of leaving everything behind and following Jesus immediately. The call of the disciples in Luke is the Lord's prayerful act of discernment. And after a night of prayer, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And then Luke writes, he came down with them and stood on a level place. He came down with them, where there was a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people. He came down with them into the crowds, where there was disease and there were unclean spirits and there were folks wanting, needing to be healed, where people were just wanting a touch. He came down where there was the press of human flesh, where the solitude of a mountaintop retreat was quickly forgotten amid the sea of humanity. Jesus came all the way down, and power came out from him there on the level place. You remember that the holiness of God made the face of Moses shine up there on the mountain. And when Elijah called on God up there on the mountain, the fire of the Lord fell upon the altar, a fire that even licked up the water that was all around. Up on the mountain, power and majesty. Matthew's Jesus almost seemed to leave the suffering behind. Matthew's Jesus headed up the mountain, and it was up the mountain where the timeless revelation of the law and the word of God would be set forth, up on the mountain. But here in Luke, even here on the level place, here where Jesus and his disciples were surrounded on all sides by the crowds, here where Jesus went elbow to elbow with the things of the flesh, the very power of God came out from him. The reader ought not to miss the symbolism here. Jesus came down and stood among us. The Sermon on the Plain has a different feel. And out of that healing melting pot, where human suffering somehow meets the power of God, out of that melting pot there on the plain, Jesus looked up at his disciples. He looked not just at the 12, not just at those he named apostles. He looked up at the great crowd of disciples. He looked up at all who called on his name. He looked up and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." And together, almost as one voice, almost with one voice, the crowd must have said, "Amen." Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Go on now, someone says from the back. Preach it. Preach it. The disciples, the hearers in the crowd, were just warming up with their response. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And those there in the crowd who had all but forgotten how to laugh, they lifted up their arms and their hopefulness came out in a sound that was somewhere between a grunt and a sigh. Mm-mm-mm, they said. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, defame you on account of the Son of Man. And the crowd of those who believed on his name, they just knew he was preaching right to them. Your reward is great in heaven. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, that's what the church said. But woe to you who are rich and the gathered congregation. They didn't miss a beat. And most folks looked around the crowd a bit. They nodded and found themselves repeating it. Woe, woe. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. That's right, the church said, allowing themselves to enjoy the threatening tone just a bit. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Woe, woe, everyone was saying together. They were joining in right on the refrain in the cadence. He's preaching to the choir now, they said with pleasure. And when you looked around at the apostles and the disciples and the crowds who had come crying out for some relief from their suffering, there really weren't all that many people who had lived life knowing what it was like to have all speak well of you. Jesus had, after all, come all the way down for this sermon. Many in the crowds were standing now, and the preacher's pace and cadence and content had them going, because the rhetoric of blessing and woe, it'll preach. It preaches. It really does. But I say to you that listen, and Jesus was calming the crowd a bit now. I say to you, and he waited for them to catch up to his call for quiet. And as he waited, the people leaned forward a bit and cocked their heads. He waited a bit, and the crowd, the great crowd of disciples now included generation after generation who took the name of Jesus, the great crowd of disciples. It was the church that was listening. And he continues with less volume and at a slower pace. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. What came next? The response there in the crowd. Stunned silence doesn't begin to describe it. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. And some look around in confusion. Some just thought the preacher misspoke, made a mistake, and they were waiting for the correction. Others started to shake their heads. No, Lord, no. But Jesus kept going on as the silence kept getting louder. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And the restlessness in the congregation, you could feel it. But he couldn't and he wouldn't stop. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other. If anyone takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. And the silence turned to murmuring. The joyful wave was becoming the wave off. And there was a rustling there in the sea of humanity that came as some started to get up and walk away. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away from your goods, do not ask for them again. Disgust, disdain now was in the air. Sermon listeners can be so fickle. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And there was this audible collective groan. And the message in the groan was clear. Yeah, like we haven't heard that before. Which, of course, they had. From philosophers and poets and third grade teachers. The earlier call and response of the preaching moment had more than deteriorated. Heckling was a better description now. Heckling with sneers. "It's just the golden rule," someone shouted from the crowd. Of course, there were those who kept listening. Those who stayed with the preacher. Those who moved closer as others got up to leave. Those whose ears perked up even as most others had stopped paying much attention. Jesus kept preaching. After all, he had come all the way down. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And Jesus went on to preach about judging and forgiveness. And that part about taking the log out of your eye before you point out the speck in your neighbor's eye. Yes, he kept preaching. But far too many people in that great crowd of disciples, in that great gathering of the church, far too many had long since quit paying attention. They'd stopped listening before Jesus got to this part. Far too many missed it when he said, "God Most High is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." The Lord is kind to saints and to sinners. God's love pours out on the righteous and the unrighteous. The grace of God extends to the grateful and the ungrateful. The Lord's mercy is sure and certain. The mercy of the Lord is forever. The mercy of the Lord is new every morning. New every morning. Forgive. Do not judge. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others. Love your enemies and do all of it. Because God in heaven is merciful to you. God is merciful to you. And to all the rest. Be merciful. Just as your Father is merciful. Jesus came down with us. And stood on a level place. And he looked up at the crowd of disciples in every time. And every place. He looked up at all of those who believed on his name, church after church after church, family after family after family, fourth graders on the playground, corporate folks in a meeting, high school kids who defined peer pressure, college students surrounded by such diversity. Christians trying to understand Muslims and Jews. Policymakers trying to define terror and non-combatants and detainees and torture. In a time of peace and in a time of war, when relationships flourish and when they fail, when life has been so good and when life has been nothing but a struggle. Jesus came down with us. And when surrounded by everything that it means to be human, he looked up and he said to you that, "Listen, and so many had stopped listening somewhere, sometime. Just beyond woe. Amen."